Invite you to stand. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's text is drawn from the book of Proverbs, the first chapter, and then the fourth commandment, and Martin Luther's explanation of that commandment according to Scripture in the Catechism. First, the Proverbs reading, Proverbs 1, 8 and 9. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. And the fourth commandment, you shall honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. What does this mean? We should fear and love God that we do not despise nor anger our parents or superiors, but we should honor, serve, and obey them and give them love and respect. So far the text. In Jesus' name, dear fellow redeemed, beloved of God, this morning in our ongoing summer sermon series on the commandments, in which we're reviewing God's will for our lives as His children, prayerfully considering how we may, in nuts and bolts of daily living, show our love for the Lord, for all He's done for us in Christ and will do for us in the future. We now arrive at commandment number 4. Before we begin our fourth commandment review, a question to ponder. Why do we speak of there being two tables of God's law, Ten Commandments? Two tables. A couple reasons, perhaps the most obvious. You know the story how when God gave His commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai, He wrote them down on two stone tablets, which an angry Moses smashed on the ground when he witnessed the Israelites committing the sin of idolatry by worshiping a golden calf. And then God instructed Moses to chisel out two new tablets of stone on which he then inscribed the same words he'd written on the originals. Another reason we speak of there being two tables of the law is that in the first three commandments, God made known to us His will that He wants us to love Him above everything. As we've noted thus far in our series of commandment sermons, He wants us to enshrine Him on the altar of our heart, give Him the top spot, keep ourselves from idols, commandment 1. And since He revealed His name to us to bless and save us, He wants us to always use it in ways that honor Him and not that desecrate it, commandment 2. And then last Sunday, in our third commandment consideration, we were reminded that its purpose was to point the people of Israel to the spiritual rest for their souls and the coming Savior, and how the Lord requires us as New Testament Christians to hear and learn His word faithfully so that we might find in Him that perfect rest for our souls in the news of our sins being forgiven. So perfect love for God. Now in commandments 4 and 10, table 2, God shows and teaches that He wants us to show love for our fellow man, starting with those nearest and dear to us, father and mother, whom He gave to us to be His representatives in our homes. And that's our theme today, father and mother, God's representatives in our home. I'm going to talk about blessings the Lord gives to children through their parents and then the wonderful incentives that He gives to children for honoring and obeying their parents. First, we begin by talking about that word representative for a minute or two. What's a representative? I think you all know, right? Back in June, there was a conference up in Jamestown, North Dakota, hosted by our congregation that we appointed to travel to Dakota to act as our congregation's representatives, Ed and Derek and myself. As U.S. citizens, there are people we choose to represent us in Washington as senators and congressmen. In the fourth commandment, God teaches that he has chosen some very special representatives to act on his behalf in the family. He gives fathers and mothers to us to be his stand-ins in the home because he has in mind to bestow upon us many blessings. Catechism class, when we delve into a study of the fourth commandment, sometimes have the kids draw up a chart like the one you see listed. I think it's on page 6 of the bulletin. And in that chart, list as many gifts they can think of that God gives to them through their fathers and mothers in the home. And they will list things, as you see in that chart, things like food, tasty meals mom prepares, trips to McDonald's with dad to enjoy fast food, clothes I've got hanging in my closet, shelter, roof over my head, house to live in, my parents' love, the concern that they show by taking care of my health needs as I grow up, taking me to the doctor when I get sick, giving me medicine, taking me to the dentist to get my teeth checked, making sure I get a good education at school in the various subjects. They also encourage the children to not neglect to remember and perhaps to put at the very top of the chart, maybe even highlight them with a yellow marker, spiritual blessings God gives to them through their children or through their parents. Instruction in his word, especially the saving gospel of forgiveness in Christ. Teaching me Bible stories as I grow up, that I may receive a solid grounding in the word, trained up in the way I should go so that when I'm old I may not depart from it. Inculcating in my heart Christian values and morals by the godly example they set for me from day to day, Christ-like virtues like patience and forgiveness. And when I act out or misbehave, administering discipline so that I don't grow up like a wild, uncontrollable weed, but as a beautiful flower, God's garden, serving him, worshiping him in my daily life. And a big one also on that spiritual blessing list, confidence that I'm going to live with my Heavenly Father one day in his mansions. What priceless blessings to have that God channels to his children. They're his heritage through fathers and mothers, especially those heavenly blessings. Now may children show their love for their God, for his generosity in giving them blessings through their earthly parents. Martin Luther summarized it nicely in the Catechism when he said, "We should fear and love God that we do not despise nor anger our parents or superiors, but we should honor, serve, and obey them and give them love and respect." And when we study this commandment in catechism class, I sometimes pose the question to the children to have them ponder and then give an answer to. In the Bible verse that's going to be assigned to you for memory work, it's usually the one on the top of the list. It's in our reading from Ephesians, that one in red, top of page 3. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Which are the three most important words for you to keep in mind, especially important? Sometimes a child may say, "Obey your parents." Of course, that's important to do that. It makes God very happy to see his children listening to their parents, cheerfully doing what they're asked to do. Sometimes the answer is given, "This is right." Those words are important. God loves to see children striving to do what's right and to avoid doing the wrong or what's sinful. But the answer that we seek to lead the children to arrive at finally is, have you picked out those words? in the Lord, that they might come to know and appreciate the wonderful incentive and reason for listening to Dad and Mom, being obedient and respectful to them, because their parents are representatives of their Lord, through whom He desires, as we've noted, to bestow upon them blessings for their earthly lives, and especially those all-important heavenly blessings whose value never ends. It's here, friends, that we can see how this fourth commandment also has beautiful application for all Christians of all ages and all areas of our lives, even if we're not parents. What incentive and joy and satisfaction the Lord gives to us, whether we're a child in the home or an older Christian, remembering that when we show honor for those who are in government, obeying the laws of the land as a Christian citizen, or listening to the pastor share God's word at church, or being a hard-working employee, doing the best job we can for our boss at work, as we bear in mind, who are we doing it for? For the Lord. It's all in those three short words, in the Lord. We're doing it for the Lord's sake, a very meaningful phrase, both for young and old Christians. But now, returning to the fourth commandment's application for children, question: what if Dad or Mom exhibit parental flaws? What if they make mistakes in fulfilling the responsibilities the Lord has given to them? Maybe not always showing themselves to be fair. Sometimes kids might say that to Dad or Mom, "You're not being fair." Maybe sometimes that's true. Or not making the right decision, not being consistent in administering parental discipline, or by sinning against a child by getting angry or impatient with them. Does God still want children to show honor and respect for their parents in those instances? The Bible's answer is yes, because they're still father and mother given to them by their loving God. Martin Luther had a really good comment on that in the Large Catechism. He said, and this is his comments on the fourth commandment, "We must impress this truth upon the young, that they should think of their parents as standing in God's place. They should remember that however lowly, poor, frail, and strange their parents may be, nevertheless they are the father and mother given to them by God. They are not to be deprived of their honor because of their conduct or their sinful failings." We also want to notice the very special promise God gives children in this commandment as an incentive: honor your father and your mother, that it may go well with you and you may live long on the earth. As children strive prayerfully to show their love for the Lord by listening to their parents, because they recognize them as God's representatives, the Lord promises to bless them in their lives, adding length to their earthly days. Now, it's true, and it should be mentioned, that, you know, God in His infinite wisdom, and it does happen, doesn't it? We recognize that at times the Lord may choose to bring children into the greater blessedness of heaven earlier in their lives for reasons known only to Him. And yet the general principle holds true that Christian boys and girls, young people who honor, love, and obey their parents, add length to their earthly lives. What incentive God gives to children to know that the Lord is going to bless me, enable me to have a pleasant, agreeable life furnished with good things, using also, and when I say that, using the Lord blessing children with good things doesn't mean they don't have troubles and sorrows in their life, but then know that the Lord uses those bad things that bring sorrow to the heart, that He's using those for my eternal blessing too. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God. Wonderful incentive, friends, God gives to parents to provide their little ones with godly upbringing also. And this has great application for you, this fourth commandment, you parents, to know that you have this comfort that if, and does it ever happen that a child maybe wanders or veers off from the faith, stumbles? Well, if that does happen in those instances in this sinful world of ours, you can say, Lord, you've given me your promise in the book of Proverbs, train up a child in the way they should go so that when they're old they will not depart from it, and I am holding you, Lord, to that promise. I am counting on you to lead my wayward son or daughter back to you so that I will see them in the bliss of heaven by your grace and mercy. That's not being presumptuous or overly zealous. Not an unwarranted thing to pray. It's taking one stand on the promises of God's unshakable word. In closing, may we again be reminded, friends, that God sent us his son Jesus to keep the fourth commandment perfectly in our stead. I mean, when we look back, us older Christians, on our lives, we look into the bright mirror of God's law, we will detect many flaws, will we not? Times when we have not kept the fourth commandment as the Lord expects and requires. But then we know we have that comfort. We've failed to keep the fourth commandment perfectly, but God sent Jesus to keep it perfectly in our place. Already as a 12-year-old, he went down to Nazareth with his stepfather Joseph and his mother Mary and was subject to them, as we read in our gospel. And we know later on from the cross, Jesus kept the fourth commandment for us when he showed loving concern for his mother by entrusting her into the hands of the disciple John. So Jesus kept the fourth commandment and every commandment for us, and his perfect keeping of the law, both the old, first table of the law and the second table of the law, has now been credited to us by faith, by his death. The Holy Son of God, he's made atonement for our transgressions, and we now stand as saints for Jesus' sake in God's sight. Glory be to Jesus. As God's redeemed, forgiven people, children of the Heavenly Father, let this then be our prayer. Lord, help me to honor and obey your representatives in the home, in the church, in the state, at school, as an expression of my love. I pray thee, dear Lord Jesus, my heart to keep and train, that I, thy holy temple, from youth to age remain. Turn thou my thoughts forever from worldly wisdom's lore. If I but learn to know thee, I shall not want for more. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your spirit free.